I am thankful to God, and I am thankful for June's playing, that is for sure. And we're thankful that you're here so that we can worship Jesus Christ and give thanks for our life in the Lord. And so thank you for coming to celebrate all that God does for us each and every day. We hope you feel welcome, and it's always our prayer that the Holy Spirit nurture, encourage, and lift up your faith so that you can continue enjoying the grace of God. I hope you've come hungry, because after worship, we've got plenty of food just across the way in the fellowship hall. All you need to do is just walk over there, and we'll have a little buffet line going, and you can help yourself. But we want you to know, each and every one of you is more than welcome to come and enjoy the fellowship that is going to be over there. Because it is that time of year when everything gets so busy, I hope you'll pay attention to the announcements in the bulletin. We do have our Christmas cantata quickly coming up on the second Sunday in December. We also have our Christmas Eve service listed there that'll have special music. There's a insert about the thank offering that the Presbyterian women collect every year. If you want to give to that, feel free. And there are special envelopes in the pews if you'd like to give to that endeavor. Also, we're in need of a treasurer. I hope you'll give that a lot of prayer, as we need somebody to step into that role when we head into the next year. So if anybody's interested, please be sure and let me know. For those folks that always come on Wednesday morning for Bible study, if you want to come, that'll be fine. I won't be here. So we're gonna cancel that. So just for this week, because we'll be busy making turkey and whatnot. If you will, turn to those around you. Welcome. Oh, I forgot. Hey, before you do that, you see, we got a tree here. Each Sunday when you come, you're going to see more and more decorations out, but the vast majority of them will get put up today. Our sanctuary gets transformed into a Christmas beauty. After our lunch, if you can stay, we really could use your help as we get ready to decorate for the Christmas season. If you want to hang ornaments, help put up our manger scene, whatever, we could use you after lunch. Just come over here when you're done eating. If you will, turn to those around you and welcome one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. Thank you all. Join me in the call to worship. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Out of my distress, I called on the Lord.
The Lord answered me and set me free.
Great is God's steadfast love toward us. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. praise the Lord. And let us pray. O God of such grace and mercy for all your people, we thank you for being here with us this day. Thank you for coming to bless us with the eternal riches of heaven. Thank you that your love, that you do love us so unconditionally. Our prayer is that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, and by the presence of your Holy Spirit, help us to experience that constant care that you do indeed so faithfully provide. Give us courage to follow in the footsteps of Christ, knowing that he is for us the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for your forgiveness brought through him and revealed by your Holy Spirit, who has awakened us to the good news of your great love. Amen. Let's celebrate and let's praise God. We're going to do that with hymn 551. So if you grab your pew hymnal and turn to hymn 551, let's stand and sing, "Come, Ye Thankful People, Come."
Out of great love for all his people, God chose to send his son Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. Motivated by eternal love, God seeks to bless his people by providing a way of forgiveness and reconciliation. So let us, with penitent hearts, turn to God's welcoming love as we acknowledge our sin and seek the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. Let us pray together the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Gracious Creator, you give us so very much, but too often we take these gifts for granted. We sometimes treat your blessings as something to which we are entitled. You call us to live in caring community, but too often we place our wants and needs first, with those of others a distant second. You call us to share your gifts with the world around us, but we are worried they may not be enough, and our worrying gets in the way of our sharing. For all the times we mistreat and misuse your gifts, for all the times we assume that we get what we have by ourselves, forgive us and lead us back to the path of wisdom. Create in us all hearts for your continued goodness. Amen.
Or I would even say the great news, as mentioned in Psalm 103, verse 3, is God forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's news that should cause us to rejoice and give thanks for a God that desires to be good, very good to His people. So let's express our thanks as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. You've heard me say it many times before, but the Bible does say that God loves a cheerful giver. And that part about the cheerful giver that makes God glad is because for the cheerful giving, it's done not because the giver is supposed to or has to. It's done simply because the cheerful giver is grateful, thankful, glad for the source of all our blessings. So with that in mind, may we now bring our offerings to God.
Thank you.
Giving God, we give you thanks and praise for all your gifts to us. We know that you are the source of every good thing. Light and love come from you. You have created us, and you continue to breathe life into us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have given us so much, and it is because we recognize the gifts you have given to us that we now give to the work of your kingdom. We now dedicate this offering, the work of your kingdom on earth. May the collection be used diligently and wisely so that your love may be known widely. In his name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated unless you're one of our young people. Boy, Lexi, that was super fast. If you want to join me and Lexi up here, any of our young ones, come on up, and y'all can help me with a story I want to tell. So come on up. There's a lot of y'all today. That's neat. I'm going to share a story with you from Luke's gospel. It's in the Bible. But what I want y'all to do is kind of cheerlead for me, okay? You're going to help them know how to respond as I read the story. When I begin telling you a story about a backward king, when I stop the story and point to you, what I want y'all to yell is, "That's backwards." So whenever I'm reading and I stop and I point to y'all, y'all yell, "That's backwards." Let's just try it. You can yell louder if you want, okay? Okay, they're cheerleading y'all, so when they say it, y'all say it too. So let's see how we do. They're better than y'all, a lot better. Let's see if y'all can get them to join you. Ready? Okay, here we go. Let's just keep doing that whenever I point to you. A long time ago, there lived a king, and he was no ordinary king. He was a backward king. He was different from all other kings because he did everything backward from the other ways that the kings did them. From the very day he was born, you could tell that this king was going to be very different. Most kings are usually born in a palace. This king was born in a stable surrounded by donkeys, sheep, and cows.
That's backwards.
It wasn't a very big beginning for a king. In fact, only very few people even knew that a king had been born. Only a handful of shepherds and three wise men got the word that a king had been born. That was good. Okay, keep doing that. As this child king grew into a man, he continued to be different from other kings. While most kings spent all of their time building up riches of silver, gold, and jewels, this king owned nothing at all. And while most kings surrounded themselves with servants, this king chose to be a servant. He could often be found helping others. As time went on, people became very unhappy with their king because he just didn't act the way they thought a king should act. Instead of riding into town on a big white horse the way the other kings usually did, this king rode into town on the back of a donkey. Is that any way that a king should act? And the people that he chose to be his friends. Oh my goodness. His closest friends were a bunch of smelly fishermen, and he could often be seen visiting with the poor and even eating with sinners.
That's
Let me tell you, finally, the people decided they had put up with this king long enough. If he couldn't act the way a king should act, they didn't want him to be their king anymore. And they made a plan to have him arrested and thrown into prison. And sadly, their plan worked. When the time came for his trial, the king stood before the people, and instead of shouting, "All hail the king, long live the king," they shouted, "Crucify him. He is not our king. Crucify him." So they crucified the king. They nailed him to a cross. They put a crown made of thorns on his head. They poked him with sharp sticks and they made fun of him. What a way for a king to die. He was crucified. And they took his body and they put it in a borrowed tomb.
Backwards.
And I lost my place. Oh, but you know what? That wasn't the end of the story when they put him in a tomb. Remember the backward king? He was different from all the other kings. This king did something no other king did. He rose from the grave to live forever. And now instead of being the backward king, he's the forever king. He's the king to anyone who chooses him to be their king. Oh, there's still some that might call him king backward. But to those who know him, they don't call him that. They call him King Jesus. What I want you to know this morning is Jesus did things differently, but he did things wonderfully. And he wants to be your king. If you choose to let Jesus be your king, you will know what a good, wonderful, awesome, incredible king he truly is. I hope that not only today, but that every day, your heart will be open to let him be the king of your life. Because he's not just a backward king. He's a wonderful king. And what he wants to share with you is wonderful. So if you want, close your eyes. Let's bow our heads and let's just open our hearts to Jesus, our King. Lord Jesus, we crown you the King of our life. My prayer is that you would be the Lord of my living, the Lord of these young children's living, the Lord of all our living, because what we know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is you are a wonderful King. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up and helping me. I appreciate it. Y'all are good cheerleaders. Thanks. Y'all give them a round of applause for being brave enough to come up here. What we're going to do is we're going to sing to our King. Let's grab our hymnals. Turn to hymn 554, and let's sing, "Let All Things Now Living." Let's stand and sing that together.
Thank you.
Our psalm is one of great thanksgiving. Looking back on their salvation history, the psalmist recognizes how good God has been. The psalmist sees the salvation and triumph brought by God and gives thanks. But realize this is not just thanks and praise that the psalmist offers. The psalmist expresses the desire that the whole world would come to hear and know how good is their God. The psalmist's thankfulness looks for the day when all the world has heard the good news of God. I will read Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7, found on page 529 of your Pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
you're familiar somewhat with your New Testament, you may be familiar with this story. If you've been in church during the Thanksgiving season, you may be or may have heard this story about Jesus healing 10 people who have leprosy. One of the 10, returns to give thanks. But before I read this, let us ask God's blessing. As you speak to us this day, may your word, O God, bless and affect our faith and the way we live. Amen. I'm going to read from Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm sure that you've heard it said that you get what you pay for. You don't get something for nothing, you know. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, we've heard these expressions and we have come to believe them because most of our life, the vast majority, probably all of our life, is transactional. I mean, think about it. If you make real good grades, then we will allow you into our real good university. If you do well enough on tryouts, then we will let you play on our team. If you make enough sales, then we'll give you a really big bonus. In other words, you don't get something for nothing. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It is a tit for tat world in which we live. This reality of life can cause us to think and affect our faith. It can cause us to think that we have to bargain with God, maybe like we do a used car salesman. But if you read Scripture, grace is not transactional. It doesn't come and it doesn't give just because we've scratched God's back and now God is supposed to scratch ours. But you may be familiar with this prayer. "God, I'll give more. I'll do better. I'll finally quit this sin. I'll partake in this ministry if you will just," and I'll let you fill in the blank. The reality of grace is that God gives because God loves. God gives because God loves, period, end of story. God's giving isn't transactional. Our covenant with God is always kept in place and guaranteed, not because we have done our part. As a matter of fact, so often is the case, the opposite is true. Our sin causes us very regularly to fall short on our part of the deal. But God chooses in love and in mercy to keep his end of the bargain regardless of how we do. That's why covenant theology is such a big word in the church. Covenant theology teaches us we can depend on God's promises because God chooses to keep his end of the deal whether we do or not. And that is grace. But grace is hard to accept. We still try to find ways that we can manipulate God by negotiation. Oh, Lord, if you'll just answer this one prayer, I'll do this or that. We can, in our thoughts and in our prayer life, believe that the things we say and do will earn us God's favor, or the opposite, that our sins will nullify the receiving of further benefits. But the very fact that Jesus came to save us while we were still sinners shows, announces, and demonstrates we already have God's favor, God's love. But we still think that if we don't do correctly all those things we've promised God we will do, then God has the right to leave us high and dry in our sins, and God is correct in withholding the divine love we so desperately need. Maybe it is good that we each year have a Thanksgiving holiday where we can pay our annual homage to God by scratching his back with a most thankful prayer, hoping that God will continue scratching ours as well. I know we may sincerely acknowledge God's goodness to us. I do know that. But we also sincerely believe what God expects from us and commands that we obey in return for all the blessings we receive. Our faith can often seem so very transactional. And so what we do is we lift up our thanks as part of the bargain so that our accounts hopefully can be squared away. After all, you don't get something for nothing. The best things in life are never ever free, are they? So I'm going to, this Thanksgiving, give God my praise. For many of us, this makes the story of the 10 lepers and the concept of grace hard to understand or lay grasp of. You don't just get something for nothing. Or does Jesus here in this story tell us something else? First, it's important to know that leprosy in those days was a horribly disfiguring disease. Being a viral disease, it was also contagious. Man, if you contracted it, it was a social disaster. Lepers were considered by all of society to be unclean. They were deemed unfit. And it was also in that day believed that the lepers were being punished and rejected by God for some sin or misdeed. In other words, they had it coming. And thus they were banished. They were excommunicated by their society, literally expelled from their very own families, friends, and communities. And while the disease ravaged their bodies, society responded by considering them nobodies, horribly infectious, ostracized, stay away from, outcast. It's no wonder that Luke says that they cry out from a distance. That's because they aren't to draw near to anyone. But their wisdom as they want to try and connect with this Jesus and His mercy. They even ask for it. Jesus responds, and on the way to the priest, they find they're healed. Oh, happy, thankful day. But when one returns to Jesus, Jesus wonders about the other nine, and so do we. Such ingratitude. Jesus did so much more than scratch their back. Why aren't they returning to at least scratch His? Such ungratitude. Jesus has cured the most dreaded disease of their day, and they're celebrating their good fortune, not even returning to thank the one that made it all possible. Maybe they are congratulating themselves on how clever they were to have gotten Jesus to even notice them. One preacher was reflecting on these nine, and he said, maybe it was one was waiting to see if the cure was real. Maybe one was waiting to see if the cure would last. Maybe one said he'd see Jesus later. Maybe one gave glory to the priest. Maybe one said he would have gotten better anyway. And maybe another said, any rabbi could have healed us. But whatever the case may be, the point is this. When they cried for mercy, they got it. Period. There was no question here about Jesus' compassion for these infected, excluded, ostracized, looked down upon, broken people. No question about His compassion for them and to them. What is amazing about this freely given gift of mercy and compassion is that once they are healed, the nine who do not return stay healed. They stay healed whether they come back to say thank you or not. Their thanks had nothing to do with whether or not Jesus desired to make them well. What Jesus has done for them is not taken away, even though nine of them didn't return to offer any thanks at all. We can't help but think, you know, doesn't the one leper who is cured, who returns to give thanks to Jesus, doesn't he get something for his thoughtfulness? If it was faithfulness that made this one well, how come the other nine who showed no gratitude to Jesus go merrily on their way? Certainly they don't have the same gratitude. Why do they get to walk away cured, even though they didn't return to give thanks? But you know, we could say that of folks today who stayed home from church this morning to sleep in and then awakened for a casual read of the Sunday paper. We could say that of those who stayed home to do yard work instead of coming to praise God. I believe that when we see bad things happen to good people and good things happen to those who could care less about God or faith, that when we see God showering His good grace on all people, whether they pay attention or not, it can get us to ask why. It doesn't seem fair. After all, you don't get something for nothing, especially something so incredibly, remarkably good. So is there a difference in the one leper who returns to give thanks and the nine who just merrily go their way? Yes. Don't miss the fact that Jesus told the one who did say thank you. He told that one something very important. Your faith has made you well. Jesus points out to the one who desires to say thank you, not only is he cured in his body, but his whole life, his heart and soul is now well. And one reason he knows it is he's just bubbling up with gratitude. The one returns because he's not only cured, but he's well. It isn't just that he knows he's cured and he now knows the one who is responsible for his cure, but he comes to say thank you because joy and gratefulness is just overflowing his heart, and he can't help do other because he's got a brand new beginning that was given no strings attached. Being free from his affliction teaches him the source of his wholeness as a person. So his thank you is given not because he has to, because he's supposed to. He turns because he simply wants to offer Jesus this overflowing gratitude with a simple thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you not just that you cured me from leprosy, but thank you because you're the one that is the source of my brand new beginning. You're the source of my brand new way of life. You're my source of now belonging to something greater than myself. Thank you. This one hasn't returned to offer thanks to square his account with the Lord. The fact the other nine go away cured shows that this one who has returned isn't even obligated to say thank you. So he doesn't return out of obligation. The one who says thank you has a sense of happiness that overflows into thanksgiving for the one that so freely and wonderfully extended God's compassion. This Samaritan, as Luke points out, who Jews would have said is not really truly a child of God, has a faith that is motivated to get with God for no other reason than to simply say, thank you, Jesus. Which is more than enough. It also shows us people of faith that we're not better than others. They don't deserve or earn, Christians don't deserve or earn better, special, or more favorable treatment from God. But people of faith, like this Samaritan leper, perhaps like you and I, have a good glimpse of how the universe really truly works. We have an inkling about the sources of goodness, wholeness, newness, and hope that makes the difference in how life is lived. We come here week after week in our difficulties and in our needs and sometimes in our suffering, our emotional struggles, our physical struggles, our spiritual struggles. But like the lepers, we come wanting to connect with the mercy from the one who can make our lives not just cured of one thing, but well, who can make them whole and new. We don't come because we're especially good or have earned more of God's favor. In fact, we know we cannot and do not. But we come because we know that what we find here is richer and fuller and truer than any other way possible. We know that what we will receive here will truly make our hearts smile, because it is more than just a cure. It's what makes us new. It is what allows us to become well. So hopefully we realize saying thank you is more than enough. Because being made well wasn't dependent upon us in the first place. Thank you, God, isn't transactional. It's just simply gratitude, freely given for the grace so graciously offered. Amen. And we want to thank God. And because He's been made known through His Word, we do know what we believe. This morning, we're actually using a different confession of faith. It's an excerpt from the Confession of 1967. But let us use this as a way of responding to God by saying what we believe by faith. Let's stand and declare what we believe. The church responds to the message of reconciliation in praise and prayer. In that response, it commits itself afresh to its mission, experiences a deepening of faith and obedience, and bears an open testimony to the gospel. Adoration of God is acknowledgement of the Creator by creation. Confession of sin is admission of all people's guilt before God and of their need for His forgiveness. Thanksgiving is rejoicing in God's goodness to all people and in giving for the needs of others. Petitions and intercessions are addressed to God for the continuation of His goodness, the healing of humanity's ills, and their deliverance from every form of oppression. The arts, especially music and architecture, contribute to the praise and prayer of a Christian congregation when they help people to look beyond themselves to God and to the world, which is the object of His love. You may be seated. And let us go to God with our prayers. God, the beauty of creation shows us that we have a beautiful Creator. And that beauty is also seen in the very valuable gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and live forever as those who are victorious over the grave and members of Your household. We thank You for our salvation, we thank You for our life, and we thank You even for our daily bread, for those simple things that You provide day after day after day. Let us not take for granted our central air and heat. Let us not take for granted the fact that we do have roofs over our heads. Help us to be grateful for how You seek to bless us in all situations, whether they be favorable or unfavorable. Because we know and we believe in great hope that Your goodness, Your promised goodness, will always prevail. You've shown that in Jesus Christ rising from the dead, how Your good plans can't be thwarted, and how You rise in victory to greet us, Your people. So we thank You for Your constant presence, Your steadfast love, and the gift of Your Holy Spirit, who constantly whispers to our hearts, we do forever belong to You. Thank You that even though we do still unfortunately sin, it doesn't undo our relationship with You. That we can take the hand of Christ, our shepherd, and continue living on as Your people. But let us not take that forgiveness for granted. Let us rejoice that time and time and time again, You give us Your mercy. And if we have gratitude, let us extend that mercy to others. Empower your church to live as your thankful people in the world today as we joyfully go forth to spread the good news of your great love. Receive us. Take us as we are. Make us into what you would have us be as we come to you praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The words are there in the bulletin. Give thanks. Let's stand and sing together. Give thanks as we prepare to go forth. May God go above you to watch over you, before you to lead the way, underneath you to support you, behind you to catch you should you fall. And may Jesus Christ work in you. May he work through you. May he work around you, and may he work even despite you. For God loves you now, and God loves you always. Amen. Thank you.